Hello, welcome to Fireside Chats. I am Magla Pillay, and the topic that we are taking up for discussion today is called Karma and Destiny. This subject is of interest in this series because we are looking at things like what is the core of spirituality, is there a balance between your inner and your outer world, and what your relationship with God is. Do you, as an individual, enjoy a balanced and real relationship with God, or is he just a name or a concept? I'd like to introduce you to Sister Denise, who has been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for over 4 decades. Sister Denise, very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
And thank you so much. The subject of karma and destiny is something that we have covered in other topics, but it's such a rich and varied subject that it bears and is needed for at least half an hour discussion. Tell me, what is your understanding of karma? And I'd like you to explain it in the context of how it works in reality, because most people have a basic understanding of the law of cause and effect. But to put it into practice is something totally different.
What I'm thinking of in this particular fireside chat is how you look at your karma in terms of your feeling for your destiny. Because everybody wants to understand, who am I? And how do you approach this question, who am I? One approach is, I am my destiny, because destiny is something that you think of as fixed. And when you say your destiny is fixed, it means that you can have a feel for it in advance, a kind of premonition about what your destiny is and who you are in that way, like the character that you play in this drama. So when you have a sense of who you are, destiny-wise, then you say, okay, what actions will I be doing that correspond with who I am? And there is where I think you want to look at karma and destiny working together. Mm. So it's everything to do with your sense of identity.
Sister Denise, why is it that the vast majority of us have a don't care attitude about the consequences of our behavior? On some level, we have a basic understanding of the law of karma, but we go ahead and think and speak and do without having due regard to, is this going to come bite me one day? Why are we so careless about it?
Partly, I think most people don't take the idea of the laws of karma very seriously, aside from the fact that they don't really know very much about it. It's a very cursory understanding. And the other reason, I think, a very strong reason, is that people identify with their feelings. I am my feelings, I am my desires. If it feels good, do it. You know, that is the kind of current currency of our culture, and I think that influences people quite a lot.
Mm. So identifying with our feelings, that is not good. Let me ask you the question in this context. Are you your feelings? Is a person their feelings?
I think that if the feelings you have are a reaction to the perceptions that you have. So that means that whatever's going on inside you is everything to do with what's going on the outside. And so you are under the influence of the external. Whereas if you think, you know, I am a being with a destiny and I'm accountable and I'm influential, and so it makes a difference what I do, not only to me, but to history, to people. Then you start thinking very differently. And this is where I think we're wanting to go in this program.
Okay. So if I have a strong feeling to do something, I can't let that be the only reason for me to do it. Are you saying we've got to stop and still make a decision, because it's very natural to, I feel like you know, no longer studying because I'm feeling tired. I have a test tomorrow, but I'm feeling too tired. I'm not going to study because I don't feel like it.
So then we would say it's very short-sighted. It would also be said that you're taking an axe to your foot. And so we would say that's not very intelligent to just operate on that basis. Short-sighted, damaging to your potential. You know, people do want to fulfill their potential. And this is where I think the idea of destiny and karma linked together is interesting, because you're not identifying with your feelings. Your feelings become much more secondary, because they can work with you, they can just as easily work against you. But if you say to yourself, okay, well, I am not my feelings, feelings are something that I have rather than something that I am. And the feelings I have are very much connected with my perceptions, but behind my perceptions there's something else which is more important, mm-hmm. which is who I am. Mm. And what I stand for, and where I am headed, which is to say, I kind of line myself up with my highest potential, my possible destiny, and I go there rather than just be like a leaf in the wind.
Mm. Okay, so what it boils down to is the ability to make a decision. The consequences of which work for you rather than against you.
I think partly that, and also partly being much more far-sighted about yourself and giving importance to yourself, not in an egotistical way, but more in a way of honoring who you are, what your potential is, and kind of understanding that you have some sort of a duty to fulfill that potential, rather than just be careless or casual about it, because eventually there's a tremendous sense of loss and regret when you get the point.
Mm. So, Sister Denise, the you know, what comes to mind is that almost every single child at some point in their school career will be asked to write a composition entitled, "What Would I Like to Become When I Grow Up?" And so what you are saying is, why not, irrespective of where you are in your life right now, sit down and write, "What would I like to be when I grow up?"
In a sense, yes, but in another way, you know, when you give that exercise to a child, it's unfair, because the child is operating from the angle of a child, and you're saying that the child isn't anything until they grow up. But I think that no, the child is very important in their process of being a child. And when you grow up, okay, you grow older, but the message that our culture gives is that you don't really have an identity until you're an adult. And then your identity gets molded for you. And so I think that that's not good for people. Mm. So I think really, you know, what is my sense of myself right here, right now? And then go deep, because there you can discern some kind of a destiny which is going to be quite different from something some other person is going to want to impose on you, which takes away your freedom to be who you are.
To be spiritually aware means that I make a conscious decision to make a plan as to who do I want to be as
not,
a person.
Not even. I think it's more like recognizing who am I.
Self-discovery.
Yes.
Okay.
Because if you're trying to construct yourself, you may miss very important elements of that, because you're not in the mode of discovering, you're in the mode of, you know, bricklaying or something. Discovery is much more subtle, there's much greater potential, and you may be selling yourself short in a way by doing that. So I'm very keen for a person to really have the subtlety and the opportunity to really discover as something which might otherwise be considered an impossible dream, but it may very well be very possible because of what is inside that soul.
Hmm. Okay. So, Sister Denise, when problems strike, when you receive a backlash, a karmic return that's harsh, and when you have a debt that you find it difficult to settle, how do you manage your karmic debts from the past? Because we're not talking about how you function when things are okay. But when we have a very intense illness, when we have financial problems, when we have relationship problems, then we consider it that something is wrong. That's the terminology we use inside and externally. How does one who's spiritually aware manage their karmic debts?
Well, I think we wouldn't say that something's wrong. We would say something more like, here's an obstacle. And the purpose of an obstacle is to give me greater insight, a greater depth of experience, to strengthen me, because obstacles are to be transcended. And you transcend them by, exceeding what you think you're capable of doing, basically, which means that you are actually gaining capacity, building capacity, using the obstacles, not thinking something's wrong. Okay, it may be a karmic debt, so okay, I have to pay it, so I have to make sure I have enough wealth of pure karma and yoga to deal with that, and also that I have enough imagination to go past it, to transcend it, and really go past my limits, stretch myself at every opportunity.
Hmm. And dealing in that context with one's feelings, because you tend to get sad, feel betrayed, get upset, cry, whether it's internal or external tears, when life sends its various knocks. How do you deal with your feelings when you're facing a intense karmic debt?
Well, you have those feelings, but you also have powers. You also have resources. And it's very important to be able to manage your feelings. You know, you have to manage rejection, you have to manage failure, you have to manage self-doubt, all of these things. But I think that you go to your strength and you get through those, you get past those, because those feelings, you can look at them on another day. They may feel really intense at the time, but in hindsight, they don't seem so big. And if you can get past them, transcend them, you feel better about your accomplishments. Mm. You don't let them get in your way.
Mm. And so, Denise, for somebody who's spiritually aware, what is the end result of your spiritual journey? Is one's entire life just waiting for the next karmic account to emerge? How do you live as a person? Do you live differently? You see, in the world, one has worldly ambitions. Does somebody who's spiritual have spiritual ambitions? And how does this fit into the context of today's topic of karma and destiny?
I think that your sense of your ambition is related to your sense of your destiny. Sometimes a person has a feeling inside, this is what I want. And then you have to ask yourself, is that good? Is that right? Is that suitable? Does it correspond with me? Is it realistic? Can I stretch that far? What do I have to do in order to achieve that? And I think this perception of what you want is your destiny coming into the present and giving you a little signal that, hey, come over this way because this is lined up for you. So I think you have to discern that. Some people, they discern a destiny that is to do with a worldly ambition, and fine, you know, but from a spiritual angle, we would say that is relatively speaking limited. So a spiritual ambition may be wider, broader, deeper, higher. And it has to also be lined up with, I think, the task of God.
Which is?
I think the task of God is to bring every human being to a state of purity and to bring the world to a state of harmony in terms of the environment as well as the society. And I think if you have an ambition that lines up with that, you may well call that a spiritual ambition. And you may need all of the internal and intellectual and aesthetic and every other resource that you would otherwise apply to a worldly ambition. You can apply just as well to a spiritual ambition. And of course, the caveat is you have to be very careful of the ego that will come along and get in the way.
How does ego affect the way you handle your understanding of the law of karma? Does your ego cause problems in that arena?
Well, yes, it does, because in spiritual terms, suppose you have special talent, then you have ego of that talent, and then it creates an expectation that you want everybody else to think that you're wonderful, marvelous, and fantastic. And then there's no humility, and you kind of, you know, ego being edge out God, or edge God out. So to have a spiritual ambition, you would need to be all the time referring to God and all the time placing yourself under God as an instrument, and be prepared for your perception of what you're supposed to be doing to be adjusted or moved around by God, by circumstances, and so you may need to call upon a lot of inner strength to actually reach that. You may also have to be careful of some temptations, you know, because if you become very successful, there's lots of deviations from your pure goal that can happen. And so it's very important that you never say to yourself, I did this, I am this, that ego contaminates it, you see. Because when you're doing something, you want to do something pure, you want to do something great, you want to do something that is a high attainment that aligns with, I think, God's purpose, or have a higher purpose, but always being ready to let it go. Because at the end of the day, you will die anyway. And so if you have ego of it, it will get in the way of you're being realistic about things.
So, Sister Denise, you previously said that one's aim and part and parcel of one's spiritual ambition is to not just wait for your the debts within your own karmic account to emerge. You're more proactive about it, aren't you? You go about settling it even before it emerges. Is that the case? And if so, how do you go about doing that?
Well, there is this idea of being far-sighted, so you can see something coming in advance. Or in the case that you don't see it coming in advance, you have to face it, you have to deal with it as it comes, and not avoid, deny, whatever. Because it's part of the process. It's, you know, when you're on the spiritual journey, stuff will come. Obstacles will come, debts will come. I think the very important thing is not to, say, sit back on your laurels, but you must always continue to accumulate spiritual power and a yoga power, because you will be called upon to settle an account any time, maybe suddenly and unexpectedly. You have to have your wherewithal with you at all times.
Hmm. So Denise, with any type of karmic debt, there comes with it pain. Okay? Now, we've become adept at trying to run away from pain, making an enemy of pain, trying to deny pain. What is your relationship with pain?
When you say yourself...
Sorry, can I qualify that? By pain, I mean pain, any form of suffering, fear, because karmic debts bring up a plethora of negative emotion. And there is, the entire range of it. So I'm using pain as an umbrella term to cover all the feelings, negative feelings that we experience when something comes up. Anything from shock to, you know, mild sense of unease. How do you, somebody who's spiritually enlightened, manage the pain that comes from karmic accounts?
From the time that you begin your spiritual journey, these things are going to come up, different varieties of pain. So you become experienced and you gain greater expertise in managing them, so that as time goes by, they actually become bigger, more subtle, more complicated. So you're constantly, improving your game, you can say, and getting better at managing it. But you see, the powers that you develop through yoga are very specifically in order to be able to manage sometimes extremely severe pain, and that is what you are adept at, that is what you are skilled at, and you make yourself get through it. You don't get stopped by it or held up by it. You use not just only your spiritual power, but you might need to use medication or whatever, but everything has to be, you know, sensible, reasonable, balanced, logical, coherent, intelligent, grounded, while at the same time maintaining a very high aim.
Okay, so you, the impression that comes to mind is that you grin and bear it, or is it deeper than that?
I think you have a big smile.
A big smile, yes. And then, Sister Denise, as this unfolds, you go about your daily life?
Well, you're operating on a number of levels. You have ordinary daily life stuff, but you, I don't think, keep yourself as an ordinary person, because if you have a very high spiritual ambition, that's not an ordinary thing, because you start to expect more of yourself than an ordinary person would do. You don't have ordinary expectations, you have extraordinary expectations, and you expect yourself to be able to do things that you might not expect of other people. You keep yourself moving along, and that's just the way it is. Because if you discern within yourself that, yeah, I can go very high, then go. But it can't be at the expense of other people. You can't do in such a way that you damage other people or that you neglect your duties. You have to carve a path where you're taking into consideration all the things that you need to take into consideration so that your bases are covered. You don't get into debt by sins of omission, but you keep your life simple so that there's nothing to stop you to reach where you choose to go, or where you also recognize that's where I have to go.
Explain to us how God comes into the picture as far as the law of karma is concerned and as far as destiny is concerned.
Well, I think that God knows better than anyone else what the laws of karma are, and God is the teacher of the laws of karma. So if you become a student of God, then you're going to learn those things. The other thing is, God knows who you are. You don't know who you are. You ask yourself very deeply, do you know who you are? No idea. But, you know, God will say to you, okay, well, I know who you are, so I'm pushing you in this direction. And gradually you begin to discern about yourself and discover yourself, and that discovery may continue if you fall short of where you need to go. You know, your sort of exams will come back again to enable you to fill the gaps or the insufficiencies that may be there. You have time, you know. I think one very good thing about God is this patience, you know. God has eternity, all the time in the world. And God says to us, human beings, you know, you're also eternal souls. So just go for a very high aim and just don't lose sight of the goal. However long it takes, no matter what it takes. I mean, a very human thing is, this is too difficult, this is too long, I don't think I can carry on moving when I'm 85, 90, whatever. But you see people who are on the spiritual path, who are still pursuing it at those very old age of 85, 95, and they're still working on themselves, and it's an extraordinary thing. Most people would never do that. They say, oh, 75, that's enough, I retire now.
Hmm. So you who are spiritually aware have embarked on a journey of self-improvement, and it lasts until you leave the body?
Yes.
That's actually quite noble.
It's also quite inspiring for the self, because, you know, there's nothing like stopping, there's nothing like giving up. There's this sort of encouragement all the time, keep going, you can do it, just a little bit more, a little bit more. And it's a very nice way to live.
Unfortunately, we have no time left to listen to you more on the subject, but it has been extremely enlightening. Sister Denise, what I like about what you shared is that almost everybody has some understanding or have heard of the law of cause and effect, but we are very shy when it comes to using it in our lives. And that's what I like about what you shared today, is you showed us what it means to practically implement the understanding. So thank you for that.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us today, brothers and sisters. As you sit in the comfort of your own home, I would ask you to consider two things: whether you understand the law of cause and effect, and whether you are able to apply this understanding into your life. Because knowing it is simply not enough. You have to implement it to see whether it works for you. And Sister Denise has shared some valuable insights as to how one handles a negative karmic burden, which brings pain, which brings trauma, whether it's physical, mental, psychological, whatever your problem may be, whatever negative karma you are facing, one can face it with a fair level of equanimity. So I do wish you luck on your own spiritual journey. Thank you so much for joining us. Goodbye.